Hi, and welcome to the 12th House Tomfoolery Podcast. I'm your host, Tiffany, and I'm here with my other host, Kate.
I like that little circus trumpet. Hi, guys.
You're welcome. So today is episode 11.
Yes, episode 11. We're super excited about it. And just to talk about some more weird 12th Housian type things. Numerology, which I posted a bit about on the site today. Number 11 is a master number. It's the first of the master numbers. And it's Tiffany's life path number. Yes, queen.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. But it is a number. This is actually a perfect number for us, Tiffany, too, because it deals with chaos and confusion, too. 11s have to deal with a lot of chaos and confusion.
Can't relate.
We have quite a bit of that. Can't relate. Right.
My life is perfectly perfect all the time.
Yeah. It is also the number as above, so below. So it's a very intuitive number. It's a very spiritual number. People with the master number 11 in their profile tend to have very high intuition, psychic powers. My personality number is 11. So it's a great number. And while we were talking about this, I looked down at my phone and it was 11-11. So make a wish, Tiffany.
All right.
Yeah, make one. I wish that our podcast takes off.
Our wishes are similar.
Yeah, it was weird. It must be our
intuition. Like, Kate, I can't tell you my wish. It won't come true.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, no.
That's true. I said mine. Whoops. But that's okay. As above, so below. So it was above in your head, below in my focalization.
So we're talking about the Man-Eaters of Tsavo today. Some of you may be familiar with the story because of the movie that came out in the 90s with Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas, The Ghost and the Darkness. And it was not The Ghost in the Darkness, which I have typed several times trying to look this up. It is The Ghost and the Darkness, because that was what they called the lions.
The Ghost and the Darkness were the lions?
Yeah, roughly. It was one of the many names that you hear as I go through and tell this story of what they referred to, the lions, demons. I mean, just all kinds. They're devils, I mean. Excuse me. Specifically, it was devils. So all of this is the firsthand account of Lieutenant Colonel John Henry Patterson. A lot of this comes from the book he published in 1907 at the behest of the President Roosevelt. After hearing his story, he's like, it must be a good story if he's like, you got to write this down. You got to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm shocked that I'm so excited because I know quite literally nothing about this. So I'm coming in like a virgin touch for
like
the very first
virgin.
Time. I know nothing. Yep.
Touched for the first time.
Podcast karaoke. Woohoo.
I know they hate us. It's fine. So he has actually a pretty awesome quote where he says, sometimes the documented is even more fantastic than the speculative, which is definitely true in this case. He is 30 years old, Lieutenant Colonel John Henry Patterson. He lands in Mombasa in March 1, 1898, at a key port between the Indian Ocean called Fort Jesus. It was actually built 300 years prior in 1596. It was a key contentionary area for like wars because it was such a good little location, being that key port. Apparently, I think it was the Portuguese who controlled it, had trouble keeping it. Because there would be someone always trying to take it. And they lost the rights to it like 9 different times.
I'm glad we're talking about the Portuguese and I'm drinking Madeira from the bottle.
Yeah.
How appropriate. As above, so below.
Yes. On brand.
See, I knew. Intuitively, I knew.
I just wanted y'all to know that because I thought it was super neat. Patterson was commissioned, and this is going to be a tongue, like a mouthful. So I just wrote it down word for word. Patterson was commissioned by the London-based Uganda Railway Company on behalf of the Imperial British East Africa Company within the jurisdiction of the British Protectorate of Uganda. Do you got all that?
I do. I don't really know what it means, but I got it.
Then we're on the same page. Thank you. Perfect. I was like, I can't surmise this. I'm just going to write it all. It's fine. It's like its own paragraph. So he was sent to Tsavo with the chief medical officer to assist with the management of building a bridge to go over the Tsavo River, hence the name. And it was hoped it would be completed before the railway workers had constructed the railway there. This is a tongue twister, so pray for me. It was to be a be a railway linking the Indian Ocean and the Kundalini Harbor with Uganda.
Kundalini so or Kundalini?
Maybe that is my typo.
Kundalini is like a spiritual awakening or Kundalini awakening. I think I was texting you about that earlier today. That's funny.
Yeah, no, like not long ago. I have typed Kundalini. I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
When I texted you the picture of the the Zillow house with the two dragons and I said, that you called.
They were two like little there were two little spindly dragons like intertwined and one was blue and one was red and it was done like some okay tile work. And I said, what in the 2000s metallic stickers is going on here?
Yeah, which was so funny. But it does look like this. I'll post it on the website. The picture, like the symbol for a Kundalini awakening, which is like a spiritual awakening. It's like from your root chakra, the like spiritual energy is supposed to like flow up. The sign for that is like the twisted snakes. It looks just like the metallic dragons. So that'd be so funny if it was the Kundalini River. I love it. I love it.
I'm like, oh, no, don't pick me apart. I did all this research 2 months ago.
I know. You shouldn't have started a podcast with a Virgo. That's the problem.
I need a secret poke and stick for when you're asking too many questions. Like, shut up. Yeah.
I should keep an eye out in the notes. You should be like, you need
you
like a
never
safe
look
word.
At.
But it's I'll like start the looking at them.
The safe word's going to be shut the fuck up. That's what it's going to say.
Yeah, STFU. Yeah, do it. And then just do like a big, like the like zero sign, like the no crossing sign with the Virgo symbol next to it. Like, stop it.
Stop. I'm going to have those Virgo just queued up, ready to go.
Yeah, just have them ready to go at all times. And I'll know, and then I'll stop questioning.
I'm going to send you a gift of a water bottle squirting. I'll be like, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep, get away from here. All right. Kundalini, whatever, river. Okay.
It might be. I mean, I'm not even confident. I was just typing away when I was looking this stuff up, not paying attention.
Well, I hope it's Kundalini.
Well, then you could Google it while I'm talking. And
I'm actually doing that right now. I'm a step ahead of you. A step ahead of you. Yeah.
All right. So while you're doing that.
Yep.
So linking those harbors. He commented that when they left, it went from lush and green for about 20 miles to red sand and dirt and perhaps sparse cover. I'm not sure on that one. He also said that wild ostriches supposedly ran along the train as long as they could to glimpse the passengers. So Megan, that was pretty cool.
That is really cool.
I mean, that's like your Disney princess moment. And then everything goes to shit. Right?
Yeah.
But
I love
you're going to have that one little moment.
I'm into it.
I know.
Yeah. Magical.
It just makes me think of the old Sega Genesis Lion King game when you could ride the ostriches while you were Simba.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I had that on my Game Gear. Oh, wow. What a like core memory you just activated. Yes.
Holy that was shit, very millennial of me. So.
Yeah, I love that game. I played that game for hours in my little Game Gear. Holy shit. Wow. Yes. God damn it.
No, that was a good one. I had I had like the Game Gear where it was, you know, when you just have the same symbols, but they just moved around because it was just one little cheap thing where you just mash your fingers on. I had the Little Mermaid one. And I spent so many hours killing Ursula. You don't even know. Just hours upon hours. I had that thing on a speed run. I could just crank it out every single time.
I love it. Amazing.
So lower your voice when you talk to me because she was going down. Okay. That game was so fun.
No one's stealing my voice, Ursula. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I didn't have that one, I don't think. So
it is burned into my memory like an old plasma TV. It is in there.
The ostriches, the Simba on the ostriches is burned into mine. I can like...
Yeah.
I can very vividly see it. Yeah, wow. Oof. Oh, the circle of life.
Me. Just a small dash of serotonin I used to get as a kid.
Me too. The echoes of dopamine are ringing through my brain. Yeah.
What do they call it when you have like a drug flashback? I guess it's like that.
Oh, yeah.
When your body chemistry didn't fuck you completely.
Yeah, yeah. I love that we're both like wildly ADHD and we're like, I wonder why. And we're sitting here talking about like loving our video games, staring at them for hours. Interesting.
I would say that would be more on the spectrum, but ADHD is basically got its foot in the spectrum anyway.
Hyper focus, yeah, and ADHD and the spectrum are certainly kissing cousins. That's for sure. lot of overlap on that Venn diagram. That's for sure.
You leave my brother husband alone.
Yeah.
Ugh, gross.
Exactly. No, I'm not making fun of anyone with ADHD or the spectrum.
I'm not making fun of you if you have sex with your family members, just so we're clear.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, for fucking sure. Yeah.
Full absolutely. Offense on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's no good. Okay, back to the river, back to the stories. Now that we've gotten 90s video games and incest out of the way in our weird tangents.
All right.
Fantastic.
Sweet. I'm going to have to just make the water bottle spritzing noise so that we can fly through this.
I know both of us might have to. Yep. For both of us.
I got to finish.
I know.
Okay. So I got to make this manageable to edit. So they arrive at sunset the following day, and there were some 8,000 Indian laborers called coolies in camp 7 miles from the track. He arrives and he says, day one, order more supplies. I don't want any of the workers to have an excuse to be idle. So he is about meeting those deadlines. They were clearing area for tracks, and he went on a 9-mile trek to see the river where they were going to be building the bridge with one of the teenage coolies. He refers to this child as boy, the boy, or my boy in his book, because the name they had given him had a pretty negative connotation. So Patterson was definitely, you know, not a complete asshole. So good for him.
Wait, they gave... Okay.
No, because he referred to him as the...
Just continue.
You don't have my notes to look at. I should just forward you my notes ahead of time, and then you can just read along like, oh.
Yeah.
So that's what he referred to him as. So the very next morning, he heard of a lion attack, and he dismissed it as a robbery because a lot of the workers are going around, compared to what they get paid back home, are making a pretty decent wage. So he was just assuming like, maybe there was just some robbery going on. Pretty easy to just try to get away with murder in this big area with lots of people where it's dark as heck at night and they're living in a tent.
Yeah.
I lost my spot. The very next morning, Patterson heard of a lion attack. He dismissed it as a robbery until it was mentioned it was Singh. Singh was a Sikh warrior. He was a trained fighter of the Jemadari, which is their elite force. And he was hired by the same company to keep the peace and protect from outside threats by men. So just man on man crime. He was cool police. After about 5 days, Patterson could not find anything. He was just informed that devils took him. And he's like, Como what?
Yeah.
He saw Singh as a man of extreme discipline and no one would really have even attempted to attack this man, even in sleep. This is a bad dude. Like, no one's dumb enough to attack him. He's going to beat your ass, period, end of story.
Yeah.
But in the tent, he found what you would expect after a lion attack. Tracks, or what he refers to as pug marks, deep in the sand. So this is a really sandy soil. So the tracks are going to be very obvious, very... You're going to know.
Footprints on the beach.
It's not like the flat, hard dirt. Yeah. But not as a heartwarming ending as that little poem they have about that one. More upsetting, he also found a large amount of blood and hand and nail impressions in the sand and dirt.
Ooh.
There were a dozen men in the tent, and by their accounts, they said he was taken in... I wrote snuggle, but that can't be right. I guess shaken until he was out of... taken until he was out of earshot.
He was snuggled until he submitted. Now we're gonna spoon. Now we're gonna...
No, he was ripped to pieces. Yeah, so sorry.
It's not so hallmarky.
No. So they tracked the predator. Oh, and I also wrote, this death affected morale.
Was that, wait a minute, was that your personal input or was that?
Yeah, that's just my little side note. I'm like, yeah, this death affected morale.
Dr. Tiffany has given her diagnosis. This affected morale. Yeah, no shit, it affected morale. Oh my God. Okay.
Spoiler, this morale went down.
Yeah.
So the following day, they tracked the predator, and after several miles, they found out what was left, or they found what was left of Singh.
Aww.
And he was ripped apart into pieces after they ate his fill. So he was ripped apart and then eaten. I'm sure he was dead by the time they arrived, hopefully, but, you know.
I think if you're ripped apart and lions are feasting on you.
No, he was drug there. Yeah.
You're probably dead.
Later, it talks more about their hunting style, and they would, like, Patterson refers to it as, like, their, oh, gosh, it was in his dramatic, as I'm even going to say. It just sounds so normal until you find out what it is. I'll just say their habit.
Okay.
And they keep stopping on the way to lick the skin. And I was like, okay, so no, lion's tongues are super rough. So they're licking the skin off.
Oh God.
To get to the blood and meat and the soft tissue organs that they want to eat. I was like, oh, they're just licking it. Oh no. That's when I was like, okay, wait.
Oh my God.
Oops.
Wow. I feel like I have personal experience with that with my old cat. I mean, clearly not to the same level, but like if a cat licks you, no, I'm serious though. Like my cat used to really like licking my hand. And yeah, like for the first like five licks, you're like, oh, that's cute. But after that, you're like, motherfucker, your tongue is like, ouch, enough, dude, sandpaper, get out of here. And that was Cuddles, my 10-pound feral little lion that she was, not a, you know, Savo lion. So that actually,
I don't know, my son Smokey is a very gentle little gentleman and he kisses me so softly.
Cuddles,
he's like, mm-mm. So respectful.
No, Cuddles was a feral cat and she never was domesticated. She was like a gang member. She was like, fuck this shit. She was an indoor outdoor cat. She'd bring like dead rabbits and birds to us. No, I probably thought she was like cutely licking me, but she probably
murder
was like,
presents.
I'm about to eat you for sure.
She was sizing you up.
She was for sure.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. No, sorry. It gets kind of bad. That night I'm just going to pop back in my little memento notes here that I wrote 3 months ago. So that night they made watch in one of the trees and he and the boy waved for the predator to return. It was waited. Spoiler. After midnight, he heard rowers and a hush of 8,000 men come over the camp. Like, you have some noise, then deathly quiet, minus the roars. And then over the next couple hours, you just hear roaring coming over all different parts of the camp.
Oh, God.
He thought he was going to be able to snipe them out. That was not the case. He became upset, realizing the camp was too open and the lions had many unencumbered routes, and with silent feet in the sand and nearly invisible in the dark, it was super frustrating.
Yeah.
After some more silence, screams erupted into the night, and they waited in the trees until dawn, and then they went in to check. At the railroad camp, which Patterson stayed at his first night there, a man was dragged from his tent and consumed a few miles from their camp.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The next night, he set up in a different tree with two goats below him as bait. He heard screams come from yet a different part of the camp. He went to go see what had happened with the boy and two coolies, and he found nails in the dirt and a missing man.
Wow.
So
I can't believe everyone wasn't like, hey, I'm going to go sleep in the trees. I'm not going to put myself up for being the one who's screaming and being eaten the next night, you know?
Well, they liked their odds. It was an 8,000-man camp.
They liked their odds.
No, I'm serious. Like, that was a lot of the reason they stayed, because they weren't indentured. These were men. They weren't in contract indentured. No one could stop them from leaving.
I would have left, personally. I would have been like, and we're out. See you later.
They probably would lose everything. You know, they probably spent a lot of money to get there. All the money that they have is going to be what provides for their family. So if they go home empty-handed with him gone for months, uh-oh.
Yeah, dude, I get it. This is the Scorpio take. Yours is the Scorpio take. Mine is the Virgo take. Scorpios are deep, and yours is the right take. Mine is the wrong take. I think I'd be fucking out of there. I'd be like, I don't want to fucking die.
I mean,
I'm serious. Like, yours is like, Scorpio's like, I'm going to take care of my own. Virgo's like, I'm going to rationally I don't know. I just
get the fuck
out of here. Yeah, exactly. Get the fuck out of here. And Scorpio's like, no, I like my odds and I'm going to take care of my family. Virgo's like, I don't like the odds and I'm going to take care of my fucking self. I'm going to get out of here.
Well, in the beginning, they mentioned this. I don't know if I typed it out, but they just basically people liked their odds, you know, because there were so many of them.
Yeah.
And this is just kind of when things started popping off. So, okay. So he's running over there with the coolies. What I didn't mention before was he had slept during the day. And when he went to go set up that next night, because he has to be awake to hunt all night long, the boy came and he just kind of said, oh, you know, it makes more sense for you to go back and sleep at camp, but go sleep in the tent closest to me and take three coolies with lanterns. And as soon as they hear gunfire, I want them to come running to me. And that's the instructions he gave him because he knew the boy hadn't slept that night or during all day. He didn't want to put him through all that again of just listening to him scream for the trees scared out of his wits. Yeah. So he sent him back. So when I say, hey, met up with the coolies, this is what happened. So he basically met them halfway when things really popped off. And I guess I don't know if he fired a round or what, but they just met in the middle.
Okay.
So that's where we are now after a miniature flashback.
I like it. Lost flashback.
I gotta find where I was in the notes.
Also, just let me take this pause. Then it's really making me laugh that they're called coolies because I keep thinking about the parasite you were talking about in the last episode. Weren't they called cooies?
Okay, yes, they were. It's K-H-U-I. But the girls like changed the names of everything because it's like. They make that part slice of life. The rest of it is absolutely not. But they call them cooties. Like, oh, we got to get our cooties?
It just makes me laugh because I keep imagining, like, these people, you know, like, trying to hunt these lions. But they're, like,
glowing blue
ones. Yeah, they're inner parasites being like, I'm hunting. I found my soulmate. I found my destined match. Just making me laugh.
It's your fated mate.
Your fated mate. Sorry, your fated mate. Sorry. I'm just crossing genres right now.
Which they have special words for.
I can't wait. I haven't started reading it yet, but I will.
Well, I talked to Lexi today and she said, if you don't start ACOTAR, you're in so much trouble.
I did. I only read like 2 pages of it, but I did start reading Court of whatever it's called, Rose and Thorn. I started reading it.
All right. So you know what's good? So you've met Feyre.
I've read 2 pages, but yeah, if that's Feyre, then yeah, I've met her. Good. Okay, let's get back to the cooies, the fated mates.
I know, but I keep getting lost in my notes. Okay. Next night, dun dun dun, fast forward the coolies. So he found nails in the dirt and a missing man. He noted that the lions had a lot of lack of fear of man.
Yeah, no shit.
So he tightened. He noted that very brilliantly.
Yeah.
So he tightened up the camp into a smaller circle, and they constructed walls of thick thorn bushes, which were called bomas. These things are no joke. These are big, thick, fat thorns, like not your little rose bush.
Mm-mm.
Huge. So they construct walls of this together. So for the lions to try to climb it, come over it, go through it, it is going to tear your ass up.
Yeah.
Around the camp and as well as some of the tents, and they started keeping fires going all night as well as strings connected to pots, very Home Alone style, but it works.
This also sounds
around
like
the camp so the men could make
this sounds like a
noise to deter predators.
It sounds like an American Gladiator episode to me with the lions as the contestants.
I don't know, but
did you watch American Gladiator? It was that kind of shit.
From the 80s?
No, the game show where they'd like put you through the, I don't know, maybe it was the 80s, 90s, where they put you through like the obstacle course that you had to go through. You had to like jump through shit. And you'd, like,
I know Ninja Warrior. How about that one?
I don't know that one, but yes, this can be our age differences meeting in the middle. Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen, old lady, I don't know what that is. I didn't watch it. Know. So back to my Home Alone pots and strings.
Yeah.
So he had them connect pots around the camp so the men could make noise to deter the predators or alert them to the predators, aka the lions. Mm-hmm. And he would start kind of methodically doing his thing. So he would intentionally leave certain areas weaker so he could lie in wait in those areas. And then the lions would just attack somewhere else. He said that the lions had like an uncanny ability to figure out his plans. Like they were always 2 steps ahead of him. No idea. Not so fun fact, 8 people died that week.
Jesus Christ.
So work's kind of come to a standstill halt at this point. Finally, he's just like, I got to get everyone back to work. And the Lion started to have a string of failures. He continued to work. He would nap sporadically, track them during the day, and then hide in the trees at night. He had little to no success. Tensions were super high. That's when the Lion... Tensions were super fucking
to
high.
To no success. not the outcome not you necessarily great. Want. Little to no success.
Absolutely zero. Yeah. So...
You're doing great, to sweetie.
His slight benefit. To his great benefit, the Lions finally started to have a string of failures. I forget why there was a Greek person there, but when I tell you this man had the Greekest sounding name I've ever heard. I don't have it written down.
Is it like Spanokipa Acropolis?
Yes.
Yeah.
You sound like a racist caricature of a Greek person.
I really do. But I did have spanakopita for dinner tonight. I posted about it on Facebook.
So good.
So fucking good. Love it.
So good.
So good.
A good pastizo.
Oh my
get out of here.
With the bechamel. Oh my God. Triggered. I love that shit. Oh my God. Like
with the bechamel.
Mediterranean lasagna. Yes. Woo. I literally, my body just shook.
It's better.
It's so good. It's so.
It's better than lasagna. I'm going to say it. It's better.
It is better than lasagna. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to get off the rails, but I do have to say this. When I was in New York, my number one 4 a.m. Order, because you could still get it, 4 a.m. was from this Greek diner, Mike's Diner. Pastizio, it was $20. It was a giant hunk of pastizio with like so much bechamel with roasted garlic, lemon, potatoes, and like this sweet corn with it. Oh my God. Yeah. I woke up with that shit like next to my face a lot of times. It was so good. It was.
Roll over. You're like, hello.
Yeah, I was. I was like, ooh, late night last night, pastizio.
Well, hello. Ooh.
I feel you inside me. Yeah.
You don't have to go anywhere today, do you?
Yeah, right.
Let's hang out.
Yeah. You want round two? And I did have round two many a time. Fuck, that shit was so good. Oh my God. Okay. Whew. Gotta take it down a notch. It's getting hot in here.
Getting hot. Mm-hmm. So the Lions go in and attack the guy. Someone, I don't know how it happened, but basically the Lions got a hold of the mattress instead. And I don't know if someone threw it or what the hell happened, but they got that. And then they're actively trying to drag it through the camp and it got stuck in those 9-foot high bomas.
Oh, wow.
These are not like little tiny bushes like
yeah
you have decorative in front of someone's house. Big, thick, thorny sons of bitches. And they find the mattress in there. And then there was a trader and donkey bringing spices to the camp to sell.
Uh-huh.
And the Lions attacked him on the road, I guess. God, poor guy.
Yeah.
And he scurries up a tree and they somehow get attached to like the cart or the reins or whatever that's the donkey had. And they start pulling and the donkey, you know, is coming towards him because it's attached. And they're just like, what the hell's going on? Freaking out, like thinking they're being chased. And this poor donkey is being... just ripped every which direction Aww. Of the Lions trying to pull away. I know.
Yeah, so poor sad. Donkey.
And it gets yanked through the boma, I think, as well. I'm like, oh, that poor baby.
Yeah.
I don't know if the donkey lived or died, but for the sake of our sanity, I'm going to say it lived.
You know what?
A full recovery. Because
for the sake of sanity.
We need that because the rest of this episode is bad.
Well, that donkey's got good karma. Whatever its next life is.
He does.
It's going to be better.
He's bringing flavor to the people.
Yeah.
He's the mayor of Flavor Town.
Yeah, he's the Guy Fieri. Yeah, that donkey is now Guy Fieri. Oh my God. That is the donkey's karma. You've done so much work for the flavors. In the next life, you will be the mayor of Flavor Town. Drivers dive in and drive. Yep. Mm-hmm. He's the donkey.
Oh, man.
Creating spices across the country. 110% that donkey is Guy Fieri. I'm convinced of it.
Yes. I bet he even had a flaming cart, just like that guy's flaming Cadillac.
110%. Yep. Oh, my God. I love it. Thank God we figured out one of the mysteries of the universe. Guy Fieri's past life. Yes.
Guy Fieri's past life. Good job. He's a good person. I used to think he was really grating, annoying. And then I realized that I suck and he's actually really cool. The more I learned about him, I was like, no, Guy Fieri is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I dig him. I dig him. He does a lot of good things.
So now I'll go and reference some of the things the Lions were called, and we'll talk real quick about Patterson's hubris. So Patterson wasn't really scared of the Lions. I don't know why the hell not. Yeah. They're clearly fucking everyone's lives up. The Indians called them ghosts. The Mahajins called them devils. And the Africans just called them lions because that was the native Swahili.
They're like, yeah, just some fucking lions.
I think. It's
yeah.
Lion.
Yeah.
So he was living in just like some sturdy walled thing with like a leaf, the thicker leaf fronds as his roof. Not as like protected as like the tents, we'll say. Mm-hmm. And then one night he was in there talking to one of the guys that he was working with, and he heard some stuff outside his shack. I don't know what to call it. I'm sorry. And then they eventually went out to check because the guy had a lantern, and there was huge pud marks everywhere. The lions were just kind of sauntering around his little shack at that time.
Oh, God.
After that, he moved into one of the areas of the bomas that was next to the medical tent, which was a boma within a boma.
Very Russian doll.
So he moved that in his tent. Yeah. Boma within a boma. Yeah. It wasn't as successful as you'd hope, but it did help some, I guess. The lions, he also notes later, the lions entered the encampment more nights than not and were successful more nights than not. And this is the point where they say the laborers only took solace in the numbers. It was not likely one of them would die if there were 8,000. But things were about to change because he has that bridge to build, so he's going to have to split his team apart. So when he took a group of 3,000 men to work on the bridge at Tsavo River, they took the whole first day to build up the camp with high bomas and tightly grouped tents. They were attacked the first night.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
The man, I know. I'm like, that's why I was like, look, it's not great.
Yeah.
Suck it up. Make it through the story with us. The man was only saved by tripping over a table end and making a clatter. When the men in the tent, the men in the next tent were not as lucky. So I guess he tripped over this thing. It flipped. It scared him. And then he ran in the other tent and went crazy.
Wait, it scared him or it scared the lions?
The lion.
Okay.
The lion.
Okay.
It scared the lion.
Okay.
The
so your best defense is tripping over a tent is what you're saying. Just trip over a tent
or a table.
Okay.
No, a table.
Table. Yeah. All yeah. right. Well, okay.
I don't know. This one time it worked. So one was crushed and the other was dragged out while holding a table. That guy died. So, you know, the table is a very niche movement.
50-50.
Patterson was away. It's 50-50. So maybe don't put all your
roll
eggs
the
on
dice.
The table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patterson was waiting the next night near the area of the attack and heard screams from the opposite end of camp. He ran to find the lion and had grabbed a man and drug him through the bomas, not over, through the bomas. And the tent and the man that the man held onto for dear life was ripped to shreds in the bomas. And there was no sign of that man.
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. Quick. Don't spray me. Don't Virgo spray me. I just do have one quick question.
What?
How are the lions going through the bomas and not getting all scratched? What, like, are the lions getting scratched up in these things?
So they have to be getting scratched up because a very fun fact is they didn't have fur, really.
What?
They didn't have those, the big poofy manes. They were almost hairless, which is weird.
So were they all female?
So the
female.
In the movie, they're portrayed as just, no, they just didn't have their hair. Some apparently can just not have that. I don't know.
Well, the female lions are the huntresses, so it probably was a bunch of angry fucking women.
I will go over the lion stats at the end and you can speculate.
Okay, sounds good. But they were getting scratched up, right? They're like, we don't care. We're taking the pain. We want dinner.
Yeah, they were just risking it for the biscuit, I guess.
Got it.
I don't know if they were getting fucked up like the men were, but I'm sure they were a little more jaunty, but I wasn't there, so right. They definitely got a few ouchy boo-boos. Yeah. How about that?
Okay. Sorry. Just was curious.
So that guy's gone. They continued to work on the bridge from a few weeks and lost more men, but the structure began to resemble a bridge. Yay! Despite on and off attacks. Later, when a man was bringing supplies from the main camp to the bridge camp, he was attacked on the only path from the main encampment and barely made it up a tree. Three goats were not so lucky. From that point, Patterson and the medical officer, Dr. Brock, decided they were going to have to do something about that.
Yeah.
Patterson fixed a wagon with another wagon on top of it to create like a shelter hiding spot for him and Dr. Proc to lie in wait. It literally like just two carts.
Stuck I love it. Like a double decker bus.
And he is quote, yeah, but carts.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
And I'm sure he did some sawing and moving things around, but he said it was quote, not unlike a coffin. So during the day, they took time to enhance their coffin carts and the goats. Well, they didn't do anything to the goats, but they brought them and went to the road where the lions were last seen. Patterson wanted to draw attention to the carts. He had learned the lions were attracted to sounds, so his pots and pans theory didn't work out. So, sorry.
What?
So they didn't try to... So he didn't try to remain quiet at the time. The coolies arranged the goats in front of the cart in plain view of Patterson and Dr. Proc. It remained quiet throughout the day, and in the evening came, it was a very dark night. Being in the cart amplified and distorted sounds, so Patterson and Brock began arguing as to what was going on outside, whether it was a lion or a bug. Brock spotted a dark spot in the high grass where he and Patterson began to argue if it was a shadow or a lion. To the point that Patterson was about to get out and poke it to prove his point.
Oh, okay.
So it must have been heated.
Yeah.
That was when the shadow lunged out towards the goats and Brock and Patterson fired in tandem. Patterson said it was the loudest thing he had ever heard.
Yeah, I bet.
The irony was not lost on them at being fish in a barrel. They waited for a day. They waited for daylight to get out of the box. So at least they had that much sense.
Oh, yeah.
At daybreak, both the men still had hearing issues from firing within the cart, and Patterson lamented after seeing the slug in the ground and the lion prints, he'd wish he had just waited just a few seconds and would have been able to half their lion problem. To their shock, one of the goats was gone, and they couldn't believe that they didn't see it, which is really crazy because they were just a few feet away. One of the goats gone, they did not see it happen from right in front of their faces. After this incident, they didn't see the lions for almost 2 months. Some thought one was shot, but Patterson didn't because he found no blood at the scene. He discovered 5 men had gone missing at the larger encampment and didn't mention this to his workers. He's like, I've taken a lot of L's.
Yeah.
These guys don't need any more reasons to not be working right now.
Don't ask, don't tell.
I'm just going to keep this one under my hat. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
He decided not to mention it. So yeah. The lions returned, and some of the coolies were sleeping out under the stars because they thought the lions had moved on because they had gone to the big camp for a vacation, I guess. One of the lions took one man and carried him towards the bomas to find a preferred spot to take him over. And the other coolie, I guess, was just sick of this shit and rose up to defend him and started throwing rocks and flaming debris at the lion.
Hey, take your power back.
Yeah, I guess. He's like, I'm tired of this.
Yeah, I'm tired of this shit.
The lion was unfazed and found his spot and leapt over the boma.
This sounds some real housewives of Savo lions to me. This is some drama.
Girl, eventually it obviously sorts out, but they're going through it.
Yeah, through it.
But, you know, he's like, take your power back. It's my time.
Yep.
The lion, unfortunately unfazed, jumps over the boma. Patterson noted that the man was consumed just a stone's throw away from the camp.
Oh, God.
This marked the beginning of an uptick in activity.
Sorry.
And the lions began to roar to announce their arrival again. Quote from Patterson, "In the whole of my life, I have never experienced anything more nerve-shaking than to hear deep roar of these dreadful monsters growing gradually nearer and nearer, and to know someone or other of us was doomed."
Oh, God. Oh, that makes me feel sick to my tummy. I don't like it.
Yeah. So when the growling and roaring began, Patterson would hear the coolies whisper, "Beware, brothers, the devils are coming," or "Beware, the ghosts are here." Oh, he started to feel demoralized. This ordeal had been 10 months long, and 1,000 employees left at this point because they were at-will employees.
Yeah, no shit. I would have left
the Virgos
you.
Got out of there.
Yeah.
Apparently, there were 1,000 Virgos, and they booked it.
It's not just Virgos. There'd be other signs. The Scorpios would be staying hard. The Aries would be staying. The Virgos and the who else would get out? The fucking Sagittarius. They'd get out of there. they'd get out of there. The mutables. The mutable signs would get the fuck out of there. The fixed signs, they'd be staying. But the mutable signs would be like, and we're good. Thank you. See you later.
Gotta go. Gotta go. Thanks, bye. Yep. So Patterson writes the East India Company to get a hold of a Whitehead, a big game hunter working for the company. He wrote he would come down with Ascaris. I am squinting at my screen. I think I need some glasses. But this was an ancient group of, it's an ancient African group of like warrior hunter things.
Dope.
Persons. Sorry, I'm trying to be respectful and I'm just saying things incorrectly. But part of their indoctrination included slaying a lion. So, oh, wow. I mean,
yeah.
Best resume possible.
Yeah, the man for the job.
He was supposed to arrive. The man for the job. He was supposed to arrive late December, and by the 3rd, he hadn't arrived. And when he arrived that afternoon, so that was the 3rd. I don't know why they worded it like that, but he I wrote, he's had a saucy retort about, so this is how you greet a man you've invited to dinner. Patterson was nonplussed. Whitehead then said that he was almost done in by a lion and was on his way in, and it pulled down his shirt to reveal large claw marks.
This is the fighter.
Upon inspection. This is the guy they called to come take care of business. They tried to cap him the minute he got there. They're like, get out of here.
But he's got claw.
Upon inspection, wow. Patterson, yeah, down his chest. Jesus. From his shoulder. Eesh. Upon inspection, Patterson decided that these were legitimate and from his lions. I said, unsure how he came to that conclusion, yeah. But we're not going to question it and we're just going to move on. Yeah. He is an expert now. We're not going to ask.
Right.
He also mentioned that he even thought he knew which one it was. Okay.
Yeah, right. Okay.
When Whitehead arrived at the end of the train, a man named Abdullah, who arrived with Whitehead, when without warning, one of the lions pounced upon Whitehead. And like literally they just got there and he gets pounced on by the lion.
Damn.
And he held it off with the length of a barrel from his, not his roll, but his gun. And when the lion jumped off, he grabbed Abdullah, but not Whitehead. The lion grabbed Abdullah and pulled him into the grass. And this guy was never recovered.
Ooh.
So they stayed in the jailhouse that was right there. Because no one was about to walk the 13 miles to the encampment at night after that.
Ah, yeah, no shit. Duh.
So that was why he was late. Gonna give him a pass.
Yeah, for sure.
So this is when Patterson starts making some very advanced Scooby-Doo traps. So he's been working on the construction. Very, very Fred of him.
Yeah.
So he's working on the construction of his trap. Like, it's a shooting scaffold. I have a picture somewhere. But it's like a older version of, like, an animal trap. Like, you walk in, oh, you're stuck. Or the gate slams down behind you.
Got it.
So it was like a box with a scaffolding shooting area to the side, which wasn't actually in the caged area. It was in a separate area.
Mm-hmm.
So it was inside of a tent and it was inside of a boma. So like they covered it, like they put the boma around it. They put the tent over it to like camouflage it. So they'd walk in and be like, haha, motherfucker, you're in a trap.
Do they put like meat in there or something to like entice the lions?
I don't know if it was like a live goat or just normal man noise. I don't know what I wrote here. And I can't remember because so many times they switched up the bait.
But they put bait in it.
Other than goats.
Okay.
They definitely put some type of bait in there.
Got it.
So the whole point was the lion to sneak in after prey. So I guess it was another goat. And not be able to escape and get shot. Like you come in, door shuts behind you. You don't have a ton of room to move and run around.
Yeah.
You're about to get shot.
Yep.
So Patterson was the first to spend the night in the box. He heard screams in the night and knew it had not worked. The following night, he and Whitehead went hunting and they left 4 coolies in the box with shotguns. You know, someone was monitoring it. They went out looking around and he left them in there with the shotguns. He had also tested the door's strength by hitting it with a sledgehammer to show the coolies it was secure and they would be safe. Patterson was on scaffolding inside of the boma area and he heard the door slam shut and it began roaring and scratching. So, I wonder what's in there.
Yeah.
Because he heard the men scream, shoot it. And then he finally heard, after like a a whole minute. He finally hears them fire, and he heard bullets whizzing by. He was kind of frustrated because he assumed that the four men with rifles could hit the lion from 4 feet away, but that was not the case, as they continue to fire wildly and hit the lever holding the lion shut. That was keeping the area shut, and the lion escaped.
Oh my God.
So not only did they not shoot the lion, they let it out.
Wow. Okay.
Dude, talk about fumbling the bag.
Yeah, for real.
That is it.
Yeah.
So he wrote in his book, how they failed to kill him several times over is and will always be a complete mystery to me.
Look at the side eye from Patterson. Jesus. Patterson's like, these motherfuckers.
Like, dude, they fumbled pretty bad.
Yeah, that's not great.
I think that's as nice as it's going to get.
Yeah, not great.
So afterward, days passed without sight or sound of the lions. I guess they were doing some victory laps.
Yeah, yeah.
Until finally, Patterson was informed a lion was eating a donkey near the river. Patterson assembled the coolies, and they went out with pots and pans to flush out the lion, which indeed worked. Yay! Finally happened. One of his ideas worked. Patterson was 15 yards away when he pulled the trigger, but the gun misfired, and the lion looked towards him and growled.
Yeah, this lion's like,
duh.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah? It's on.
Sucks to be you.
Yeah.
What's it like not being God's favorite?
Yeah. It does. So, it does very much like God is on the lion's side, does it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
He's like, you came to their house. This is kind of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Spirit's
so
like,
The lion has just growled. Luckily, yeah. So luckily the coolies startled the lion away. I don't know how. That's just what I got.
Yep.
Later that night, Patterson was up a tree alone, lamenting over his failures over the course of the night.
In his fucking fields.
In his fields. He's essentially zoned out.
Yeah.
Then he heard some noise and saw something in the bush.
Almost literally disassociating in a rainforest cafe, right? If he's up in a tree lamenting.
Yeah, but this is like a dry, more arid area.
I know, it's
area,
just a joke. Yes. Come on, you're being a Virgo now.
It's not the right area.
All right, he's disassociating.
The humidity is wrong.
He's disassociating in a fucking Moe's Mexican desert. I don't know. Like, come on, you get the joke.
So he heard some noise and saw something in the brush. After an hour, he was tired, and it was nothing until something struck him in the head.
What?
And would you like to guess what that was?
I don't know what it, no, what is it? A lion.
It was an owl. It was an owl.
An owl?
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. I love it. This is getting so unhinged.
I know.
Yes.
So stressed out. And then it's an owl.
Yeah.
So shortly after, he a long sigh, and he knew it was the lion and saw movement. He finally made out the shape and didn't move a single muscle. He swung his .303 around and started blasting. It began to thrash and roll and begin to whimper. The coolies began to cheer as the sounds of death was in their favor.
Whew.
No body, don't get too excited. No body was found that night, and everyone else began celebrating. Patterson wanted to track it and then and there, but waited till morning for safety reasons of corning a dying animal that's gravely injured and has killed a shit ton of your guys.
Yeah.
He found it not far from the tree, and when he saw it, it startled him, but it was dead. The animal was 9 feet 8 inches long, and it took 8 men to carry it.
Holy shit.
9 feet. That is so big.
That is so big. I'm actually looking at my couch right now and trying to figure out how, like, my couch has got to be maybe 7 feet. And I dated a guy that was 6'4". He was fucking huge. But yeah, my couch is probably like 7 mm-hmm. feet. I'm trying to add another that is a holy shit, dude.
I think that might be from snout to tail, though, not snout to but still fucking huge.
Okay, but even still.
Still huge.
Even still, yeah.
Yeah. Because I have some other stats at the very end of this from
but
when they did
still,
testing.
Like, again, this couch has got to be maybe 7 feet, 6.5. And if that's if the body or if the tail is like even 2 feet long, that's still that is a big ass lion. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So it took 8 dudes to carry that back to the place.
Oh my God. Wow.
So, and here's where you get your answer. I didn't want to tell you earlier because I have it right here.
Yay.
So his skin was gnarled by scars from climbing through that boma.
Okay. So yeah. So they do.
So they were taking them L's. Yeah.
Yeah. Taking them L's.
I knew that, but I was saving it for later. And I was like, Kate, I actually covered that. To be revealed later. No, it's fine. But yeah. So no work was done that day. I guess they were like, yo, let's fucking party.
Right.
We got one. So they poured a few out for their homies. They had a little moment. They took, you know, a victory lap. Good for them. Yeah. They've been going through it. They can have this one.
I'm just saying, I don't know if I'd want to get like hammered just when one lion's dead. That feels like it's like inviting another lion to kill you.
So I don't want to say they were drinking alcohol. I think they just took a day to celebrate. I don't think they had.
Okay.
But it definitely wasn't mentioned celebrating with like a partying with booze.
Yeah.
I think they just kind of took a victory lap.
Just seems like not the time for me to get like blackout.
I think that was probably just like they wouldn't have it unless you were like an officer working there, and then you would probably just keep it to yourself.
I feel like I'd need it.
So Patterson knew there was a, well, duh, but yeah. You'd just die faster because you'd bleed out with all that alcohol in your blood.
Yeah.
Like, well, you're fucked either way.
Yep.
So Patterson knew there was another lion out there and most likely watching and waiting. 10 days went by without incident.
And pissed as hell now that his friend is dead or her friend is dead.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, we'll see.
But it was about to make them remember. On the 11th day, a British inspector general heard noise outside and thought it was coolies were going through his supplies. Pardon me. He found the prints the following morning. Another goat was taken. Patterson out another goat, put it next to the half-eaten goat, and the following morning, the lion apparently took off with the living goat, and they saw nothing. He set it up, saw nothing. The lion literally took it right out from under their nose, right in front of his
face. There we go. That's at the 11th day, right? Intuition. Mastery. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You took... Yep.
Magical day.
So they found the abandoned goat. No, well, the half goat. he took the live goat and left that one. They were alerted at midnight after a twig broke into the night and Patterson saw a great shape thundering towards him and fired both barrels of his carbine. The lion escaped despite a large blood trail. So he's made contact with lion number two on the 11th day. The 12th or something. So then another 10 days go by when without incident, then screams erupted about after midnight. Patterson could only fire into the air because the ruckus made it impossible to figure out where it was coming from. So that was that one. Then the following night, Patterson and the boy stayed up waiting. The boy stayed up waiting while Patterson started, I guess, getting tired from his crazy schedule of hunting during the day, hiding during the night. He's real tired. Yeah. The following night, Patterson and the boy were together. The boy stayed up waiting so that he could wake him. So he woke him and his eyes opened without moving and saw the lion. The night was actually bright and cloudless. Finally, they got a little something going for him.
Yeah.
It was the lion's undoing and didn't realize it had been spotted. Patterson said his skill showed he was an old hand and it was the skill of a man hunting, like him observing the lion. Like that's what he was saying about the lion. It was awe-inspiring to watch him skulk toward him. It was cautious. It was calculating. And it circled in with smaller and smaller loops. He waited till it was closer than it needed to be. And when it was there, he fired 5 shots with his .303 British.
Boom.
He knew the first and last two struck its mark. The lions ran into the night and the lion or lions. I don't know. I put lions ran into the night and Patterson knew based on the amount of blood, the end was probably near.
You got to respect these lions though. He really got it, right? Like these
dude. They, like, no days off. They're never giving up. Yeah, they're doing the most.
I mean, I don't want to be eaten by one, but, you know, nature, you got to fucking respect. No. Like, they're, you got to respect.
Yeah. So he slept on the scaffolding that night, and then he said it was the best sleep he'd had since before arriving.
I bet. Yeah.
And tracking was brief the next day. He went less than a mile, which was probably the least amount. He's gone for any of this nonsense. He was hunkered in a thick thorn bush, and the lion was. Mm-hmm. It growled loudly at them. Patterson aimed, and the animal charged, and he fired, and it fell. And then it rose, and it did this two more times. What? Fire, fall, rise, fire. This is the Terminator of lions. He is coming.
Holy shit.
So Patterson's there with the coolies, right? They're like his gun caddy.
Yeah.
So he reaches out for a different gun, and there was no gun nor gun bearer, as they had already scurried up the tree next to him, and he was out of bullets.
Oh, shit.
He had to turn and run up this motherfucking tree. He picked up his .303, scurried up the tree, and the only reason he made it was due to the injuries the lion had sustained from the night prior. So despite a broken leg or legs, it still leapt up after him and tried to claw its way up the tree, swiping at him. He turned and aimed his gun and finally ended the last of the Tsavo man-eaters.
Holy shit. So there's two lions.
Isn't that crazy? So it was two main lions hunting them that whole time. So that was the last one.
I can't get over this, like, Terminator lion, like, broken leg, been shot.
Dude.
Wow. God.
He can't stop. No days off.
Can't stop, won't stop. Yikes.
Cannot stop, will not stop. He actually had them, and then they were in his possession for a while.
The lions.
And then I have, correct, the dead lions. I think he had them turned into something or stuff.
Yeah, I definitely taxidermied those motherfuckers.
He did something, but due to improper tanning, the hides shrank. So what's seen today is much smaller than that of their true size, because eventually he sold them to this, I was going to say library, but I mean museum. It's actually, no, that's the wiki. The Field Museum, and I don't know your exact locations, but it's in Chicago.
I've heard of the Field Museum. Yeah. Oh, shit. Wow. I might have to drive to Chicago.
It's in Chicago.
I might have to drive to Chicago to go see. It's like a 5-hour drive. Can you imagine tomorrow if I'm like just going to see the Tsavo lions?
You send me your story on Facebook and you're at the Field Museum. Like, wait a damn minute.
Yeah. I mean, that is something I would do.
You can be.
Yeah, Sherry is
you should do a Facebook Live and be like, I'm the on-the-scene correspondent, Kate Conley, is at the Lions of Tsavo.
Yeah, man. God, if we had planned this out better, I definitely would have. I'm definitely going to go see that, though. That's fucking wild. Holy shit, wow.
Yeah, so they're on display. So I'm going to read from their stuff because I didn't put a ton in my notes. I was trying to just keep to the Patterson story.
I do want to know.
Yo, that was crazy.
Do we know if they were two? Because females are the hunters in lions. Do we know if they were both women or if it was like a couple?
I'll get to that in a minute.
Not that so, two lady lions couldn't be a couple.
Well, I'm not. I cannot remember right now. So we're going to have to wait till I get to that part of my notes.
Okay.
Which will be in a moment. So I'm going to the Field Museum's page and just going over that real quick. So how they got to Chicago. So the Patterson had turned the fearsome felines into trophy rugs. So that's where the note came from. So they were improperly tanned, which shrank the hides.
Mm-hmm.
So they remained harmless floor ornaments until 1925 when he sold them to the Field Museum during a trip to Chicago. So this is what, like 26 years after the whole incident. So he'd be in his like mid-50s by then because he was 30 when all this was popping off.
Okay.
So the museum staff restored the lions to their former glory, minus the appetite, by mounting them as a taxidermy specimen and displaying them in a diorama. Yeah.
Put them on Slim Fast. They weren't very hungry.
So if you look at the pictures, they have like no fur. It's just, it's crazy looking.
I gotta look at it right now. Keep talking.
Yeah, do it. So it's the Field Museum. It's one of the very first pictures. And you see it and you're like, oh, they don't look that big. But obviously they had to redo what they had to do to get them to this place. But they were much bigger at the time.
I mean, that
their heights were recorded as. Yes.
No, just the fact that you said they were 9 feet, like, still is just blowing my mind. That's all.
So, no, they had to have been male because they keep specifying they did not have manes.
Yeah, but
so these were both males.
But the manes are the men. The ones that don't have manes are the female.
Right. But the reason they didn't have manes is because they had no hair. It had either come off from like poor diet or something else. They were, I guess they were both male.
Okay.
That's why they're specifying about the manes.
Get it. I get what you're saying.
So they were not weighed at the time. Yeah. Sorry. I don't know if I worded that right, but yes. They weren't weighed at the time. They probably didn't have anything to do it there. So I don't know. Maybe they did. But the heights were recorded. So I guess from floor to like shoulder or head, 3'11.5" and 3'9". So floor to top. And then they're guesstimating the weight was probably between 350 and 400 pounds.
Oh, Jesus.
And then the snout. Yeah. And the pure muscle. So.
Yeah.
Then the length was like 7 feet. I guess that was snout to rear, not like snout to tail. And they did not have manes. Patterson had also stated, just kind of to wrap it up, that he was aware of and involved in 135 fatalities, but he speculated that that could have doubled as many people simply vanished and he couldn't track what was happening in the surrounding communities. And there's just a ton of skepticism on numbers. So they did testing on the lions. Let me get to that part.
I mean, I'm looking at these pictures right now and it is fucking, it is wild. Like that picture with,
see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It looks wild.
The picture of him with the fart, like when he's got the lion with like the sticks, yes. Like you can tell how big that, like that's a huge ass
huge.
Animal.
Look at that noggin.
Yeah. It's like his,
look at that noggin.
It's like as big as his, wow.
Yeah.
That is really, that's something else. Wow.
Double his tiny little scrawny man head.
Yeah. Holy shit.
He's a big fucking lion.
Wow. Yeah.
So I don't know if it was this museum or what, I gotta see, but they studied the lions. So they say using archival documents and assistant collections, they question whether the lions had eaten as many people as initially reported. So in 2008, it was a team of scientists, including the Fields, Bruce Patterson, helped discover just how many people they ate. The scientists examined the lions' skeletons and their pelts, specifically their bone collagen and hair keratin levels, of which there was not much.
Yeah.
Because they just didn't have any fur. You see them. They bald. So to get a more accurate picture of what the lions had been eating in those months leading up to their death. And the research revealed that the lions ate closer to 35 humans, about 100 fewer than Patterson's estimate. Maybe they, but here's
but
the thing, like,
the other
who's to say they, who just, were they just playing with it? Were they just killing for fun?
Yeah.
Did the people taste bad?
Oh,
I don't know.
Wow.
So the bigger mystery, though, is why the lions got an appetite for people. Was it food scarcity, desperation, a habitual dietary choice made after feasting on the remnants of a conveniently already dead railway worker?
Yeah.
Or some say that one of them had a dental injury, but which made it harder for it to hunt. Like
other
prey that's in Africa can run away and stuff. Yeah. It's like, oh, this slow man, I'm going to eat
this
guy.
Yeah, I got a toothache.
He's slow. Yeah. I can't do my normal takedown this way.
Wow.
But some people think like the injured tooth was didn't crack or break. It was from Patterson shooting it up close.
Dude, I have to say, so, this is actually really interesting timing because I actually have a really bad toothache right now. Like a really bad one.
Oh no.
Yeah, I need to get a root canal on it or get the tooth extracted. I'm not sure. But I will say, when you've got a bad toothache, like it fucks up your eating style. Like I've had to eat like softer foods, like, and it fucks up your whole like mental state. So maybe that was it. Maybe he's like, I'm just not up for the gazelle today. I need like a nice, you know,
soft man.
Yeah, soft man. Also,
a nice soft railway worker.
I really don't want them to do that process on me when I'm dead to figure out what I've been eating, because they'd be like, this bitch had so much Taco Bell.
You just need a Spotify Wrapped every year. You drank 400 gallons of Baja Blast in 2022.
100%. You spent a house down payment on Crunchwrap Supremes.
You manipulated 10 Taco Bell workers into making you a double decker.
Yeah, exactly. God, that is so wild.
But yeah, so they did some studies on the teeth and stuff, but it could have been diet. There, I think there was actually somewhat of a famine going on when he originally arrived. So it's really possible that prey could have been more scarce too.
You know, it's so funny you're bringing this up, because like I didn't even think about that question until now. But yeah, like why are they going after humans? It's not like lions are like, I need a human dinner. But they certainly were then. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I think it was like, if I had to guess, based on what little I know, so definitely should be listening to me, but just my little guess. I think with famine, everything else, maybe some injuries, maybe some issues. There was a ton of people in a small area and they weren't well defended.
Yeah.
And the lions kept testing their theory and kept succeeding. Yeah. So, I mean, why would you stop? Now, what was the original, like their original sin find out? Yeah, I don't know. Totally speculative. But the fact was it went down and it totally happened. It was so crazy.
Did they?
And then if you want a very fictitious retelling, you can watch that movie I talked about.
No, I can't stand Michael Douglas or Val Kilmer. So that's going to be a hard pass for me.
Shut your mouth. Val Kilmer.
No.
Immediate pass always. I love him to death.
Okay, I can't. You want to know why I can't watch Val Kilmer? True story.
Why?
I'll tell you why. I'm blacking out what the actual movie was. And I think this is literally like a trauma thing. My freshman year roommate, I'm actually serious. Like, I can't believe I don't remember what the movie was, but my freshman year roommate in college, you know, you get there and you're like, okay, well, I hope it's somebody that's like kind of like me. No, her name was Andrea. And she, oh my God, she was like a very, very religious, like exceedingly religious girl. From, I think, Pennsylvania. And she, okay, so you're pairing like this very, like, I also, too, at this point was a good girl. Like, I hadn't drank or, you know, I was a very chaste girl when I got to college, but I started drinking shortly thereafter.
Oh,
yeah. But she was like super, super religious. And she, I can't get over this. It's true, but it's so crazy. I like brought my like boombox, my stereo, you know, back in 2001. And I would play like, I love to play Alicia Keys and Janet Jackson and like George Michael when I was like getting ready to go out. And she was like, because I played like Father Figure and like What If, like these like sexy songs. And she literally was like, I can't stand this. I'm very religious. It's not okay with me. There can be no music in our room except for, I have a recording of myself playing the flute and we can listen to that. So she would always have on this recording for real.
I would have told this bitch to get stuff. I'm like, I'm not listening to your stupid recorder solo. Get out of here.
I'm such a people pleaser. So I was like, okay, I won't play, you know, Alicia Keys while you're in the room. And she also, I came in one day. So, okay. Sorry. The story is already getting unhinged, but she would always watch. Was he in City of Angels? Was it City of – there was always some Val Kilmer movie that she had on like 24/7 because she had a major boner for Val Kilmer. She was always like, Val Kilmer is like
– I thought City of Angels was Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, you're right. So it wasn't that one. It was – again, I can't even remember what movie it was. Maybe it was Batman. I don't know. It was some Val Kilmer movie. But I don't think it was Batman.
You're not listening to any Batman slander in here.
No. It's not Batman slander. It was some like romantic Val Kilmer movie. I don't remember what it was, but she had it on like 24/7. And then she ended up moving after first semester and she put like, she screwed out the lamp or the light bulb in my lamp and put in a light bulb that like looked red. Like it was like an infrared. So like my side of the room would light up red. And she was like, I switched your lamp because this is the color of your savior, Satan. Like she thought I was like a devil worshiper because I like drank and like went out. So Val Kilmer and her, it's a whole thing.
I would have fucked with her and I've been like, thank you.
I know. I should have. I know.
I would have tortured this girl. Like, don't be like that.
I know.
That.
God, I'll never.
If you're nice, I'll be super nice to you. But if not, I'll ruin your life.
I know, like, me too. I'm so nice to everybody.
Think it through.
And also, like, I understand I'm like a, you know, I'm a wild card, but I'm not a fucking devil worshiper. Fucking Andrea. I wish I could remember her last name. She made my life hell, dude. So that's the Val Kilmer thing. Michael Douglas just annoys me and gives me the creeps. But I do love that movie, The Game. Ugh, good movie.
Well, if you can watch The Game, you can watch Val Kilmer in another
Have you
movie.
Seen?
He was in Willow. No, he was so good.
Val Kilmer wasn't in The Game. Michael Douglas was. Have you seen The Game? That's a great movie.
No.
Oh, you need to watch it. You'll be super into that movie. It's fucked up. Watch The Game. Oh my God, The Game. It's got like a puzzle piece in it. It's really good.
It's got a puzzle piece in it. Oh, you sold me. You read ACOTAR, and when you're done, I'll watch The Game.
Okay, that's a fair. That's fair. The first book, though.
It is fair.
When I finish the first book, you watch The Game.
Just the first book.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. You heard it here, folks.
You got it.
And I'm going to make her give us her hot takes on the end of ACOTAR.
I will.
Because I really want to hear
it. I'm going to watch. I'm going to read it.
You should actually also live text me while reading it.
I will. I will.
I will not give any spoilers.
You better not.
But I do want to enjoy that.
I trust you not to, read. Scorpio.
I would never.
You would never give a spoiler.
No, I hate spoilers.
I hate it too. I hate it so much. Okay, well, but, wow. Yep. I'm about to go be a Savo lion to my fridge. I'm hungry. So,
yay.
My fridge is like, uh-oh, is she going to make it?
My partner should be home soon, so we'll have dinner.
Yeah, you're going to eat way better than I am.
When they arrive. Oh,
God, your food looks so good. Me, like, air frying cheese balls. And you making amazing homemade meals.
I made red beans and rice.
I know, and I'm like, I made a Tostino pizza roll for 4 minutes in the air fryer. Delicious.
I mean, yours is a lot less work.
It's true. It's true.
More free time for you.
Yeah, right.
Now, I just love red beans. They're so good.
Yeah, they are so good. Send me a recipe.
I cheated this time. I didn't use andouille salad sausage.
Andouille sausage.
A more affordable sausage.
Okay, send me.
I had to get something more affordable.
I want you to send me a recipe for that because that's something I feel like I could actually do. So
I could even make it crock pot or instant pot if you want. Just let me know.
I don't have one, but okay, we'll talk about recipes later, but do send it to me.
Yes, we will.
Thanks for listening, guys. Hear from you soon. Please review. Please invite people to join the community. We really want to grow. We really want to be able to do more fun stuff and.
But definitely actually listen to the show. Please, please, please.
Yeah. Please listen to the show. Yeah. Yep.
Please, please.
All right.
All right. Bye. We love you, especially the Czech Republic.
Yes.
Bye. Say bye to the people, Kate.
Bye.